Well, I asked during the week this week, I asked Brother Weeks if he would be willing to preach. He'd been an evangelist for over 40 years and preaching a lot in Australia and different places like that, a lot of different countries. And since he's here, we might as well get something out of him. Isn't that right? Amen. So he's going to preach to us now.
Amen. I don't know how much you're going to get out of this old man, but I'm going to try. So good to be here, and I thank God for Pastor and just his willingness to let me have this opportunity, and praise God for Madison Baptist Church. You've been a blessing to us for the last year and a half that we've been here, and I can't say that I've had one disappointment yet. That's saying something when you go to church, because there's a lot of opportunities for disappointment along the life's road. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read a verse from a psalm to you as well to kind of set us off here. I'm thinking I want to share some ideas and thoughts with you about what we have in the next couple of weeks as far as Thanksgiving. We know that it's a very popular holiday here in America. It's the most well-traveled of all of the holidays, a very busy time. More people travel on Thanksgiving weekend and things like that. I've been bumped off planes coming home from Australia around Thanksgiving time because there's just so many, many people trying to get to home and get to relatives and things like that. So there's a lot of things about Thanksgiving I thought I would bring about here tonight in this message. First of all, let me just say that the history of Thanksgiving doesn't start in 1600 with the Pilgrims. The history of Thanksgiving goes all the way back to the beginning of the world and its creation. And we see that there are several things that remind us of that through the Old Testament. But as far as thinking about what we celebrate here in the United States and Canada, they have their Thanksgiving a month before ours. And in some countries, they have a festival or something like it, but most of us would be familiar with the traditions that we have here in America. And we know that the first Thanksgiving was the early believers that had come to the New World, and they gave thanksgiving to God just for surviving that first year. So, I mean, they had to survive just the rigors of the winter and all of the things that went on. But many of them perished in the beginning year, and others survived it. They gave thanks to God, and they had a festival. They had a feast. And the Native Americans helped them in many ways, and these just brilliant, brilliant people seeking religious freedom, of course, found God faithful to them, and they gave thanks to God for survival as well as the bounty that God had provided. Now, I have some early recollections of Thanksgiving. Now, I've been out preaching for 44 years, and in those 44 years, I've been home for Thanksgiving in my memory four times. Prior to going into the ministry, I celebrated Thanksgiving with my wife and relatives and others. But in 44 years, I've been home for this holiday just, I think, four times. Once for our 25th anniversary, which I was under threat if I was anywhere else. Once for our 50th anniversary, I was under real threat, and I was home for that. And then there was a couple of others because of travel and cancellation, whatever. I was home, and I really enjoyed it. Now, my wife and I, Jen, we would normally wait until I got home, and we would go out and get a turkey, and we would have a little turkey dinner, just she and I and Victoria, when Victoria was at home with us, and we would pretend Thanksgiving, or the holiday. We didn't pretend to Thanksgiving, but we pretended we were having it and enjoyed it. But I have early recollections of Thanksgiving, and I'm sure you do as well. I remember Thanksgiving times when there was sufficient to have a nice meal. I grew up in upstate New York, and my father worked a job which he got a paycheck once a week, and by times we got the groceries and a few other things for the week, that paycheck was not very big, and yet we made it. My father had a garden and always worked very hard in the garden, and when he wasn't looking, my brother and I would raid the tomato vines and get really vine fresh tomatoes with a salt shaker and sit there and eat until we were full. But I'm sure none of you ever did anything like that, but I was a little thief and a robber and that kind of thing in my unsaved days. But anyway, Mother was a miracle worker. I'm sure she was, because she could take little and make much out of it. For instance, I remember when I was about 10, I think it was 9 or 10 years old, that I snuck in the house. I was always told in the mornings, get up, get out, and go about your business, Glenn. Don't come home until mealtime. And I got home a little bit early, and I come into the back area of the house, and I heard conversation. I heard my mother and dad talking. And Mother said something like this, "Clement, I'm not sure how we're going to do for Thanksgiving meal this year." And they were talking, and he said, "Well, we've got new potatoes, and we've got some turnip, and we've got some other things, and we'll do with what we got." And she said, "But what about a turkey?" And he said, "Well, we just not have one this year," or whatever. So all of a sudden, you know, you see the cartoons when the light comes on in either the kid's head or the cartoon character. Well, the light came on for me, 10-year-old boy. And the light was this. Grandma had brought her 12-gauge shotgun to our place when she came in her last days and left it after she died. But it was there. It was a Sterling model, a double-barrel 12-gauge shotgun. And this thing was heavy. And a 10-year-old boy standing next to it, it came up to about here on him. And so I had the brilliant idea that I was going to provide the fowl for Thanksgiving. And so when they weren't looking, I got a couple shells and I put them in that, and I went up the road, the dirt road, and it wasn't the proverbial dirt road. I actually lived on old Lebanon Mountain Road. And so I went up there in a little pine forest off the side up there, and I knew that there was some partridge up in that area. And I know we don't have many partridge down here in this area, but up there, partridge was a game bird that you could hunt. And so I said, "Well, dear," and I wasn't even saved, but I'm praying. I'm saying, "God, we need to have something for Thanksgiving. We can't have a meatless Thanksgiving. We're not vegetarians. I'm not a vegan. I'm not a 10-year-old boy." Anyway, I got up there, and I had this big old shotgun, and there was a laneway up between the pine trees, and I began to squat down, and lo and behold, God had answered my prayer. I mean, it was a long ways away. It seemed like a long ways away, but there's a partridge standing right there in that laneway. And so the branches were a bit low, and I'm squatting down. If I go too low now, I'm an old man. I may not be able to get up, but I squatted down, I got down, and I held it up, and it was so heavy, it was just moving and going every which way. I said, "Oh, God, I'm never," boom, boom, and I went right over on my back. It was a powerful gun, recoil. Amen. And when I looked between my toes, my feet, there was feathers and all kinds of debris in the air up there where I'd hit that partridge. And I said, "Oh, wonderful, 10-year-old boy." I was as proud as the proudest peacock that ever walked. And so I went up there and I got this partridge. I think it was a partridge. And I had the shotgun in one hand and the partridge, whatever it was, in my hand. And I walked into the house. And Mother looked at me and she said, "Glenn, what are you doing with that gun?" I said, "Well, I got a partridge for Thanksgiving." Now, Mother was a miracle worker. She made this little tiny bird about that big with all kinds of stuffings and whatever else. So there was enough for Judy and Gary, me, and my father and mother, five of us at the time, to have Thanksgiving with a partridge. Now, I've never had another partridge for Thanksgiving. Turkey. Love turkey. But we had Thanksgiving, we had meat. But other times there was, seemed like more than plenty. Things changed as we kept growing. And boy, I remember those hot yeast rolls that were about that high come out of the oven, you know. Just break them off in butter and gravy. And can I go home now? But anyway, it was just so good. And pies. My, there was berry pie, blueberry pie, blackberry pie, raspberry pie, strawberry rhubarb pie, apple pie, pecan pie. Pies galore. It seemed like pies was a mainstay. But there was one that I really liked, and that was the old-fashioned mincemeat pie. How many have had that? Oh, boy. You wrap a lip around that and your tongue would beat you to death. But here's the truth. The old folks used to make real McCoy mincemeat pie. And they made it with ground venison. Ground venison. And if I get some venison, I'm going to get that little wife of mine to make a mincemeat pie this Thanksgiving. And she's going to say, you can eat it, Glenn, because she doesn't want a bar of it. But no, it just seems so, I mean, all these memories come flowing back. You see the pumpkins and the decorations and the gourds and all this, and Thanksgiving. And, you know, back then, as I said, I really wasn't clued in as far as what Thanksgiving was all about. I don't think too many people are. Things have been ingathered, the fruits and the vegetables and the preserves, the celebration of good and plentiful things, the gathering of family, sharing of life's experiences. Oh, Thanksgiving is all of that. It's a time which is kind of special for a lot of us. Leaf peeping is all over most places. This morning it was all over in my backyard. That sweeping rain came across there while I was having a cup of coffee, and I think every leaf in the whole countryside landed in my backyard this morning. But leaf peeping was all over, but there was something that was special. Football. Some people don't care for football one iota. But I did back then. I met Johnny Unitas in Chattanooga, Pastor. He had a little a boy there at the airport, and we were having some strife, and I had my mother come in to take our little girl home to New York while we got through some difficulty there with health reasons. And Johnny U was there at the airport, and my little girl, two and a half years old at the time, she got to play with Johnny Unitas' son just for a few minutes. And Johnny Unitas came over to me and said, hey, thank you for letting your little girl play. Not too many people would do that, he said. But football, I was excited about football, lots of things. Some of you may have something else, but I loved football at the time. Not so much anymore. With all that as kind of an intro, what should Thanksgiving really be for us, especially those of us who are believers? I would suggest that making it just a holiday with all the trappings of materialism is not much. Those are temporal, aren't they? I mean, all the great food and all the different things are temporal. And Pastor, in his message this morning, you know, this too shall pass. And, you know, we're making memories, but that's what they are. They're memories. And I thought about it should be something more. Thanksgiving. This important time that we take time to give thanks, gratitude, appreciation, I thought about this. Thanksgiving should be spiritual to us. It should be a spiritual time. It should be a time special and holy. A holy time of commemorations before Almighty God and communion with Him as our God and our Savior. I also thought about some other things. The matter of making Thanksgiving a spiritual time. What does the Word of God say about Thanksgiving? About what we have as believers and what we have as children of God as far as Thanksgiving goes. Well, the first thing I want to look at for a moment in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm getting there, but in Ephesians chapter 5, many of us would be very familiar with it, and we have heard it preached, quoted. We've heard lots about it over the years. But in Ephesians chapter 5, it says this in verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Here it is, "giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So thanksgiving is something that ought to be much used in our life to bring glory and praise to our Father. Now, in chapter, I think I mentioned it, I may have deja vu here, but in Psalm 122 and verse 4. You don't have to turn there, but it talks about the people of God going up to the temple and to give thanks unto the Lord. So we see that it's something which was very familiar in that time and something which people did on regular occasions. And it's important. And I would say to you tonight that we need to give thanks always unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also know that the matter of thanksgiving is offered through Christ for the Christian. Thanksgiving is offered through the person of Christ. Romans 1 and 8, he said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." He said, "I thank my God through Christ Jesus," or through Jesus Christ. And again in Colossians 3 and 17, he said, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." We are thankful to God Almighty for that which He's done for us, but we can give thanks and render thanks through our mediator, through the Lord Jesus. And we give thanks to God through Him. Now, let me give you a few instances in the Old Testament or examples of men who were thankful. Jacob, he said this, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth, which thou hast showed unto thy servant," Genesis 32:10. Samuel, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped me." He gave thanks to God by setting a stone as a memorial. David, our a blessed example in so many ways, a real illustration of humanity in many ways. David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" David was full of gratitude for his friend Jonathan, and he wanted to show his thanks unto anyone who was related in any way to Jonathan. And so he asked about it. In 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29, 12 and 13, it says this: "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Daniel. Pastor mentioned him in his message this morning. Daniel would go about the custom of his prayer life when told he couldn't. And it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed," and here it is, "and gave thanks unto his God as he did aforetime." Didn't matter the circumstance. Daniel said, "I'm going to still pray and I'm going to thank my God." And perhaps the governor of California and other places don't want us to thank God, but I'm going to thank him. I'm going to sing about him. I'm going to praise him. Mayor of Chicago, Lightfoot, she wants to cancel Thanksgiving. She don't know you. And Cuomo, he doesn't want you to have more than 10 people in your home. So if you've got, 8 kids, grandma, husband and wife, you're going to have to either kick grandma out or the youngest. That doesn't make any sense, does it? See, you're crying too. I understand that. But they're just going to have to, they're going to have to forget it. If we're not going to capitulate to that kind of thing. I'm not. You say, "Well, that's you." Well, yeah, that's me. I'm just not going to capitulate to that. And these biblical examples are powerful for us. There's also a reason to give thanks for the power over sin. Romans 7 and 25 says, "I thank God through Christ Jesus," or through Jesus Christ our Lord, "so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." We have power given to us by a resident Holy Ghost of God. We don't have to serve sin. How thankful I am for that. I don't have to let sin have dominion over me. And I'm thankful to my God that he's made it possible for me to realize that there's one who was tempted in all points such as I was, yet he was without sin. And God hath made a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. I'm also thankful for victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and also the heavenly host." He gives thanks to God. In Revelation 7 and 12, it says, "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." He's giving thanks for this wonderful, glorious sight in heaven. The host of heaven, angels, and all the created beings of heaven, rendering thanksgiving unto the Father. Should we not make thanksgiving special? I think so. Now let me move into what I really want to hone in here for a few minutes. I have to ask myself, am I thankful for house, home, family, food, shelter, all of these things? Yes, I am. I'm thankful. I've been in places where there's so little. Places where it's hard scratch, big time. I was in New Guinea, and I was preaching in the city of Lae, at church there. It was somewhere around 1,000 people. And it was just amazing. They had a ladies' meeting. I didn't tell the 4 o'clock hour. I saved this one for you all because it's better. Thanks for your help, brother. But they said to me, they said, "Brother Glenn, we'd like you to preach a ladies' meeting." I said, "What?" "We'd like you to speak to the ladies." And believe me, I believe that's biblical enough. Anyway, 300 women came and sat in mahogany pews. Mahogany is about like pine here. And so these beautiful mahogany pews. Missionary Owens was there at the time, John Owens from South Carolina. And these women all came in there, and I spoke to them, and I talked about their Lord Jesus and how precious he is and a few other things. And after it was all over, I was standing there, and this little lady, about 5 foot tall, with only half a face, half of it was gone, eaten away by cancer. When I was there back in the early 80s, life expectancy was about 41 and a half years of age. And this little lady comes up, and she's got just a parchment over her bone that was left there, no eye, and half a smile. And she looked up at me in pidgin language, and she said, "Brother, thank you for preaching about my Jesus." And she had her hand behind her back. And she said, I'm just so thankful. And she expressed herself time and time again. And I was saying, "Listen, dear, I'm just so thankful that God allowed me to come." And she said, "God wants me to give you this." I said, in my heart, I'm saying, what can this poor lady whose life is all but expended, half her face is eaten away by cancer, what's she going to give me? She brought a chicken around from her back. It was still alive and clucking. And she said, "I want you to have this chicken for your lunch." And I said, "Listen, dear, you don't need to give me a chicken." We'd been eating bananas and pineapple for 2 weeks almost. I was ready for some meat. And that chicken looked pretty good. But I said, "Listen, this is your income, isn't it? This is how you make a living. Your chicken lays eggs, you sell the eggs." She said, no, not anymore. "The chicken stopped laying. Time to eat it, and God wants me to give it to you." I said to the young fellow who was looking after me, "Take this thing and go cook it right now." She was thankful for the word of God. Can you imagine? Half her face gone, rejoicing in the Lord and his goodness. And she just wanted to do something for the preacher. Boy, what kind of thanksgivings do we have? She was thankful, very thankful. I get to thinking about this. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. For if a man comes to God, he must what? Believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen, praise God, he's real. Praise God, it's not some figment of somebody's imagination. It's not a fairy tale. We haven't believed in cunningly devised fables, as the word of God says, but we have been given an opportunity to know that God is real. Listen, I'm only one person on a planet with approximately 8 billion souls, and God saw fit to reveal himself to little old Glenn Weeks by telling him he was a lost sinner by his spirit. He convicted me of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. And he said, "I love you, and I sent my son to die on a cross for you. Will you take him as your savior?" He reached into a deep pit. He bore his arm, and he reached down into a cesspool of sin to find this sinner. And he got his hand dirty, but he brought me up and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. And I'm thankful. And I'll be thankful throughout the rest of eternity, no matter if God does nothing else for me at all. He saved my soul, and he revealed himself to me. God is real. I'm also thankful for the Bible. We know Timothy 3:15, 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable. And it's good for us. And it is. Can you imagine what your life might be like without a Bible? I can't. Not anymore. Now, this book is so vital to all. It's living. It's alive. It meets our needs. It's everything. And to live without the Word of God, to me, that would be the most disturbing of nightmares, not to have a Bible. And yet, there are millions and millions and millions and millions who have no scripture whatsoever, even though we're printing Bibles at a record pace. Some, praise God, now get Gospels of John and Romans, and my, I'm so happy about that. But there are stories aplenty of people who have had nothing but just a little piece of scripture that our blessed Holy Ghost of God used in their life to disturb their soul sufficiently to cry out to God and ask Him to be their Savior. Scripture. There's no salvation without Scripture. You need Scripture to bring faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need the Spirit of God's graciousness to convict and to convince. And the Word of God tells us this. I'm thankful that we have a Bible. What would we do without it? And I should be thankful every day for it. And I should show my thankfulness by being in it, reading it, letting it polish me. The Word of God washes us, but it polishes us as well. We learn so much by just simply staying in it and reading it and going over it. And as Pastor said this morning again about Pastor Davis, it was here years ago, he'd come in. This man had been in the ministry for a long time, and he would come in, and Pastor said after, you know, they had their morning time, he'd come in and said, look what God showed me this morning. Here's a man of elder years, and he's still excited about the Word of God. Excited enough, I'm sure, to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a Bible. I'm thankful for salvation. John 10:10 says, He came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Boy, that verse excites me. You say, well, what's an abundant life? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with material things, I'll tell you that right now. Oh, God can prosper us. He can make us to have more material things, but so many times God doesn't do that because He knows we're prone to wander and prone to stray from the God we love. And one of the things that leads us away is to have lots of dough. We become dependent upon financial gain rather than upon faith in God. I have salvation, light, understanding, and illumination. I have life, John 10:10, abundant life. Oh, what a God we have. What a wonderful Savior. But again, in being thankful, I have to stop and dwell not only upon the fact that God would reveal Himself and manifest Himself to me. Not only would He do that, not only would He give us the Word of God and allow us to have a copy of His Word, give us instructions daily for living and all of the manual for the armament of a Christian soldier. We find salvation rich and free, illumination and life. But fourthly, I'm thankful that this world is not my home. It's true. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And I'm thankful that that is fact, truth. I'm thankful that Heaven is my home, promised. John 14, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Me, believe also in God. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, my, I'm thankful there's a heaven to be gained. You think about heaven. I do, from time to time. I wish I thought about it more. Pastor reminded us again, different value system in heaven, isn't it? Gold, what's that? Pavement. Oh, there's a day coming when you and I, warriors for God, are going to hang our swords on the azure walls of heaven, forever to stay there. And you and I are going to walk down the pavement of gold and see Jesus face to face. Oh my, I'm thankful. I have no worries about tomorrow as far as where I'm going to spend eternity. What a way to live, amen? To live without concern about tomorrow as far as where we're going to spend it. This world is not my home, or that it is all, or that it is all there is, this life. Oh my. This life is more than just food and raiment. It's nice to have, certainly is. This life is to have a relationship with a God who loved us, here in his love. Not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. I can't, in all these 44 years, I've never been able to express it. Not to my satisfaction. I was sitting on the back step this morning and was having a coffee early, thinking about how good God has been to me, my dear wife, our child, grandchildren, son-in-law. But you know, what's really good, what's worth thanksgiving, is that if he does what the Bible says he'll do, we're going to be praising him throughout all eternity. He's provided salvation through the blood of Christ. He's provided sanctification by his Spirit working in us as we live. He's going to give us glorification one day when Jesus returns. We shall be made like him. And we'll celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, feasting in glory throughout all eternity with our Savior. How good is that? But I still can't thank him sufficiently for rescuing a sinner like me. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh, dear God. Thanksgiving. Lord, I just want to tell you that I'm thankful. I wish I had 1,000 lives to live again so that I could be more thankful and render unto thee, O God, that which is rightfully yours. The deepest appreciation that I can find in my heart is not sufficient to tell you how much I love you for having saved me. Lord, I pray if there be someone that's not saved here tonight, or someone watching on the internet, oh dear God, help them to know that God loves them. Christ died for them. The Spirit of God has been doing that which only he can do in their heart and life to convict and convince them. And, oh, Lord, help them not to turn away. Help them to give thanks in prayer as they ask you to save them. And then, Lord, help us as believers to make thanksgiving more. Make it higher ground in our life. Make it what it ought to be as we praise your name tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, please.